Body image is a big focus in this country, on Instagram, in advertisements, in Hollywood. Yet there is also a growing awareness of the harm caused by all this. And some new research underscores racist origins of some unrealistic ideals. Here and Now's Tanya Mosley explores all this in her podcast, Truth Be Told, a show on Black liberation. Tanya starts with her own experience as a child. Here's an excerpt.
Santa Claus's lap is where I first learned that my body was a problem.
Ho, ho, ho. Whoa, you're a big girl.
The year before, when I turned 6, I barely hung off of Santa's knee. But now this word chubby had become synonymous with my name. And Santa, this magical man responsible for making all of my Christmas dreams come true, was telling me I was too heavy to sit on his lap. My body was already taking up too much space.
My earliest memories are of having a lot of problems with my body.
Writer Carvel Wallace began to understand the world's view of his body around 7 or 8 too. Recently, he wrote about the different ways his Black body has stood in the way of his happiness.
I was like, as a kid, like I'm chubby, and then I went through this like phase when I look back at it in my early 20s where I was very slim and muscular, and I lost a bunch of weight, then I gained a bunch of weight back.
When Carvel was in 8th grade, he held a knife to his stomach, contemplating the ways he could surgically cut off the rolls of fat from his body to fit the ideal.
This kid from your 4th grade class can run fast. This kid's good at basketball. This kid's good at football. This kid can fight. You don't have a body thing that you can do. It was in the way of my freedom and liberation.
With abs, he thought, came power and respect, the ability to be unbothered, to be seen as human.
It really comes down to a question of, do we get to experience our full humanity as Black people? And that's largely denied to folks who are deemed to look inappropriate for white spaces.
Sociologist Sabrina Strings first got into researching the way fatness is racialized by watching her grandmother.
My grandmother was herself a slender woman, but she didn't find thinness something that should be celebrated in the Black community, and it wasn't necessarily something that she wanted to be.
But when her grandmother moved from Georgia to Los Angeles, she noticed that all of the white women were on diets. It was perplexing.
Now, what are these white women up to? You know, it was funny because it was shady, you know, there would be like an element of like, these white women.
Sabrina went on to write the groundbreaking book, Fearing the Black Body, The Racial Origins of Fat Phobia, which traces it back to, you guessed it, slavery.
Slavery was an incredibly lucrative enterprise. And so it was so important to race scientists who were invested in slavery to keep a hierarchy in which Black women were not deemed to be the equivalent of white women.
A focus of that hierarchy became a white obsession with body size. And Sabrina says it manifested in the medical industry and the origins of the body mass index, which literally imposes white male body norms onto the world. And in the fashion industry through waist trainers and body shapers that sought to emulate the Black body, while at the same time constricting it.
Whiteness always includes an element of desire for Blackness, even as they're trying to distance themselves from us.
Fresh off of reading Sabrina's book, I decided to meet up with two folks thinking deeply about body liberation. Writer Carvel Wallace and body positive fitness instructor Moselle. We decided to take up space at Lake Merritt in Oakland, California, at the very spot in 2018 where a white woman called police on a Black family having a barbecue. Moselle, or Momo as their friends call them, identifies as transfluid and is known for celebrating all body types in their classes at Radically Fit Studio. Carvel recently wrote a series of essays for Medium about his relationship to his body. Okay, so I want to talk to both of you guys about body image. You know, all of us are full-figured people. Both of you all seem extremely comfortable in your bodies and your aesthetic. Has this always been? Is this a process? How did you get there?
Like, there's times where I really, like, I'm in awe of my body. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm a baddie.
What are the things you love about it?
One of the things I love about it? Some of the things I love about my body is that it exists. Mm. It exists in this space and this time.
It's wild because I have had, like, several body types over the course of my life, and I don't feel like I really consented to any of them. They just popped up, you know? It's really hard for me to love the way my body looks when it's heavier because the fat phobia is super implanted. They did a pretty good job of seeding that in me.
Meaning the society,
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, meaning all of us.
Yep.
I mean, I can love my body, and I do, but it takes work. It takes reorganizing my understanding. It takes questioning my aesthetics. It really helps when people love my body. That helps a lot. And that helps me love it because I'm like, if I saw me and I was somebody else, I would love me.
Hmm.
The problem is, it's me. I think also one thing that helps is what you said, I love my body because it's here. My body works right now. It got me out of bed this morning. It got me to the car. It got me here. It gets, you know, this body moves me through the world and it works right now. And I know all these bodies break down at some point. And I watched them break down. I watched my mother died in my arms 14 years ago. I watched her body stop working. She had a body and then she didn't have one anymore. And so I know that it's not forever. And so why would I indulge hatred of a thing that is moving me through the world just out of the goodness of its heart? Like, doesn't get anything out of it.
Mm.
It's beautiful. It's a container for my spirit.
For your spirit.
Yeah, and that's why I adorn it and put pretty colors on it and put necklaces on it. And that's why I try to look good when I leave the house.
The complication that I have with that is I see how people treat me when my body is different, like when my body is smaller. And it's not necessarily like, okay, they treat me better. That's the obvious thing. But it's also like, I feel like they can then see me because I feel like the weight is like a distraction.
Yeah.
So that is always the loop in my head is like, okay, I know this is the distraction from them really being able to see how awesome I am.
It's the people who see me. That's who I'm for. That's who I'm for. And if you can't see me, I'm not for you.
Right.
Go find somebody who's for you. It's not me. And if the only time you can see me is when I lose 30 pounds and you know what I mean? If that's the only time you can see me, I'm not for you right now. Mm. Bye. Because I think what changes for me is I no longer have the scarcity mindset that I have to get this person to love me because this is my last chance.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, there's always going to be enough people for the amount of love that I need.
I want to add body neutrality to this mix too, because I don't know, like there's just not all the times where you just love it. I think that body positivity was an important time for us. And I also want to bring up, I feel like I can't speak without acknowledging the fetishization and the obsession that comes from wanting to consume Black bodies, fearing Black trans bodies, fearing body hair, fearing Black people hair. Like, with that being said, I also like to make sure people are understanding me on the depths of my soul and my brain. Because I have people be like, oh, like, you remind me of an anime character. Like, oh, my God, like, I love your energy. Like, oh, my God. Like, they want me on their arm as a token.
Yep.
And that could be figuratively, sexually, even intellectually, depending on what spaces I'm in. And I had to make sure, like, bro, like, you need to understand that I have a brain as well.
I talked with Moselle and Carvel Wallace for a long time that day at Lake Merritt in Oakland. Their words have really stuck with me, as have those of Sabrina Strings, author of Fearing the Black Body. Strings is hopeful that perceptions around Black bodies are evolving. I asked her in the context of this, what both Black and body liberation mean to her.
I got a sense, a very emotional sense of what Black liberation looked like when I was watching Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls. And I wasn't expecting that, you know, and I'm not a huge fan of reality TV. So I didn't even think I was going to watch the whole series. I was like, well, you know, it's Lizzo, you know, it's relevant to things that are important to me. So let me at least see what this is about. And it was about so much more than body size. It was the only TV show I have ever seen where there's a group of women, largely Black women, who are just there to support one another and love one another as they work toward a common goal and realizing their dreams. And I felt like that looked like liberation. What if women, when we got together, instead of tearing one another down, instead of hating one another, instead of competing for some man who's usually not worth it, what if we got together and showed one another love and showed one another what we are capable of? That is liberation.
That's Sabrina Strings, author of the book Fearing the Black Body, The Racial Origins of Fat Phobia. I also spoke with writer Carvel Wallace and radically fit yoga instructor Moselle. And you can hear our entire conversation on Truth Be Told, wherever you get your podcasts. This is Here and Now.